What's happening, everybody? Gate 7 International is here. I'm Adi. I'm joined by Costa. Big win for Olympiacos today. We're going to get into it and all of what that means for us as Olympiacos fans. But before we do, don't forget, if you're just joining in now, a bunch of you are hopping in, don't forget to like and subscribe. It takes 2 seconds, costs you nothing, but means everything to us in terms of connecting with more red and white fans. The last 2 weeks, the show has grown ridiculously across all platforms. So help us continue to find more red and white fans and make this the biggest and best community that we can. You can also support us on Patreon. A lot of great stuff coming up. The latest enhanced analysis on the most recent game against Fenerbahce, as well as other things about the two-leg tie. So you can get extra episodes. You can join the WhatsApp chat, which has taken a life of its own. Just $1 a month. There's also a merchandise tier. Speaking of merch, coming very soon. Check out on socials. But thank you to all of our patrons that support us. And if you want to join, check out patreon.com/gate7international for more. So, huge win today, Costa. Huge. And I know it's late for you, but how are you feeling?
Feeling good, man. It was a fantastic week. Legendary week. It's flown by, you know. Not to get ahead of myself, but tomorrow we've got a final in the UEFA Youth League with the under-19s to look forward to. And, you know, the sport, you know, across all sports, Olympiacos, it's coming in thick and fast. I mean, we had the women's polo team playing in the final today. Unfortunately, they couldn't do it again, but they got there. Like, they put themselves in a position again to get to the final. And big ups to the ladies. I'm sure they'll be back there or thereabouts next year as well. There's the volleyball going on. There's the basketball playoffs coming up. So a lot to be excited about. We're getting into crunch time at the end of the season. So yeah, man, I mean, it was on Thursday. It was really hard to describe the emotions and what we were feeling right after the game. But just to be able to cap this week off with a win against Bauk after being humiliated by them earlier on in the season at home, I felt it was really important for us to take the momentum from Thursday, use the energy in the stadium and try and get an early goal. And it was a good game from Olympiacos, I thought. And some of us, or most Olympiacos fans, are probably worried going into the game, having seen the lineup. 8 changes from midweek with a completely different backline, Rodine, Carmo, Fortunis, all out. And you start the game with Kini at right back, Nelson Abbey and Panos Retzos coming back after his suspension in midweek, and Omar Richards, who for me was deserving of that starting spot today. I'm happy to see that he got a game. He played really well, I thought, when he came on at Fener during the midweek in Europe. And then Vicente Ibora coming into the midfield, and Santiago Heze finally getting a rest. Chiquinho starting with Andre Orta starting for the first time in a while. Fran Navarro leading the line up front with Pedence and Gelson Martins, who, let's not forget, we don't have Gelson Martins playing in Europe. He's not in the UEFA list, and you know, he's got a goal today. And overall, man, like, I thought, it's funny. I sent a message in our Patreon chat around the 88th minute, and I said, Panos Retzos had a fantastic game today. And then, I mean, he doesn't get there in time in front of Marcus Antonio. And then the last 3 minutes were a little bit scary, but no, overall, like, it was, you just really appreciate the energy from the team, and you see that. You see what you can do when there's a real manager on the bench, and it just makes me think. Pedro Martins is probably the last one, but I see a lot of things in this manager that Pedro didn't have, like the balls to go and play the way that we lined up against Fener in the midweek game in Europe, and today making 8 changes, like Martins would never do that in a game like that today. So
only in a cup game against Lavadiakos, only time he did that.
Yeah, especially like the more time wore on and he was there the later years. So, you know, I don't want to, again, get ahead of myself with Mendilibar. But yeah, man, very happy to end the week on a high, and we can analyze the game some more.
Absolutely. Look, for me, the important thing was we can talk about what I'm calling now the Mendilibar melons, his melon-sized balls that this guy has. But the way the team played today was it was comfort that I never would have expected, especially from a rotated side. I never would have expected to feel this comfortable in a match, especially a derby against Balk, who did what they did to us in the first half of the season. Now, as far as the way things have played out, when you have a team, it was talked about in the Patreon chat as well, that where the mentality has just been instituted, the everything's going the right way for us. You can tell Mendilibar has done incredible things behind the scenes to get the players here up here correctly, and it just seems to have cascaded to everybody else. And before we kind of go on with more of the analysis, we can bring in Kostas Lianos, who's joining us here, Costa with a K. And Costa, how are you doing today, buddy? Give us some of your early thoughts on the match.
Perea mu, me to saroniko su, που έχεις για καμάρι σου
τον Ολυμπιακό σου.
Ah, you guys, second derby win of the season against maybe the best team in Greece right now, in PAOK, the second best Greek team in Europe as well. Second win on the trot against a very good team with three major absences. Rodine, Kostas Fortunis, David Karmo, our best defender. And still this team brought it. They still brought it. I've been thinking the last 2 days what kind of manager really suits Olympiakos. Because for every Pedro Martins, there's a Diego Martinez. For every Marco Silva, there's Carlos Corberan / Carlos Carvalhal / Leonardo Jardim. Maybe this sort of managers, they're talented, they can bring it, but for some reason, they don't work for Olympiakos. I feel like at the end of the day, guys, when Olympiakos need a manager, they need an experienced manager. They need a Jose Luis Mendilibar. They need a Dusan Bajevic. They need an Ernesto Valverde. That's your safe bet always with Olympiakos, an experienced manager who brings the hammer. From day one, like Olympiakos started the season with a teacher, then they continued the season with a substitute teacher, and then all of a sudden they got the principal. You know, fantastic job by Jose Luis Mendilibar, making a believer out of all of us. I'm going to be honest; I do not expect us to win the conference. I think the buck stops with Aston Villa. I'm not gonna raffle. I'm gonna be completely honest with all of you guys. The buck stops with Aston Villa. This is it. But what Jose Luis Mendilibar has done in such a short amount of time, take a disaster team and turn them into contenders. I still don't expect us to win the league. I feel like that's a huge ask for many reasons. AEK are in such great momentum. They are getting the referees as well. It doesn't work with Panathinaikos for some reason. We have some very difficult fixtures coming up now, especially the final fixture in Leoforos, which, by the way, guys, that final fixture in Leoforos, we could be talking about this until next season if anything happens and Olympiakos decide to leave. But anyways, huge victory. Loved the fact he started Nelson Abbey. I was so scared he was going to start Andreas Doi. So glad to see Nelson Abbey. Really good game there. A promising player right there that needs to succeed for Olympiakos. Maybe he'd be great next to Retsos next season. Maybe he'd be great next to Alex Kalogeropoulos. Fantastic performance, you guys. So happy for this team. Making believers out of all of us. Some extremely difficult matches coming up, but anything can happen with this team right now. The fact alone that Mendilibar has signed a new contract until next season, which... And for another year, I don't understand why it's only for another year, but you know what? This is half the battle right there. So very excited to see what the very near and long-term future has for Olympiacos. Good evening, my friend. Good evening, Yorgo.
Nice, Costa. I love the teacher principal analogy, and I love you coming in with the song as well.
Mate, honestly though, don't you guys think that from now on, I mean, sorry for a moment, Christo Moraiti, thank you so much for your lovely donation of 20 pounds. That's incredible, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Christo, keep up the awesome work, guys. Olympiacos, keep up the awesome work as well, you guys. The awesome support you're giving us. Thank you so much for your donation. It means so much. That's what keeps the channel growing. And Christo, give us your opinion. What kind of manager do you think Olympiacos needs from now until eternity? I mean, and you tell me, guys. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is, isn't it? You want certain results, experience, proven winners. That's what it is, isn't it?
It's proven. It's the proven part. I think that's massive. And just like somebody with experience on their shoulders. And he just like, he commands it. He commands the respect of the players. He's given everyone a chance. He's, you know, he's not. You know, Carvajal came in and he started throwing players out. Like he got in fight with Maddy. He got in fight with Podence. He was very scared tactically, very defensive, going to play in Leo Foros with Omar Richards as a left winger, like all that kind of stuff. It's not what we're meant to play. It's not our style as a club. It's not what fans expect. And I'm sure probably didn't rub off the right way on a lot of players. That's it. It's what Steve says. He's like, we go to the stadium now and we enjoy what we see. Like today, legit, I was watching the game on the TV and it was almost 90 minutes. I can say like I enjoyed all 90 minutes of what I was watching. And the Karaiskaki, great atmosphere again. People inside the stadium sending us messages telling us it's one of the best atmosphere in the stadium this season. I mean, after a week like the one we've had, not surprising. Let's read some more comments. Andreas Mitsis from Sweden says, impressive win today. Stamatis Moraitis, good evening from Patra. I've been following for a couple of months now, and I have to say that I love the Basque country more and more and more.
I think we're all in the same boat there, Stamati.
Yeah, that's the thing. That would be an epic trip, actually. We should do like a Gate 7 international tour, meet in San Sebastian in the Basque country. That would be
why
nice.
Not? Why not? Why not?
That would be
why
a nice not? Trip. I'll bring my three kids with me as well.
No, well, yeah, Aris can bring his two, and that's the only kids we got at Gate 7.
And you guys can babysit.
That we know of.
You guys can babysit. Gosan and I will finally be able to drink. And enjoy ourselves.
Who's gonna be the most disastrous babysitter, and why will it be Labros?
I was about to say it's Lambo.
Do you know what we were talking about? What, like, I mean, Mendilibar signed on for another year, but I swear, like, it just feels like every time we might need to look for a manager, first thing we need to say is he needs to be Basque. He needs to be Basque.
if I may, guys, please indulge me. Hi, Steve. I am in Greece now because I lost my dad. I go 17 days. So this is my only pleasure now, this team. Steve, Silipitiria, our condolences to your father. I'm in Greece right now. So give me a shout out at Llanos Costa so we can meet up for maybe a coffee or a drink. I'd love to meet you and discuss all matters Olympiacos. So at Llanos Costa, it's underneath my name underneath. Give me a shout, man. We'd love to meet up, dude.
Steve Silipitiria, man. Steve's a DJ in Germany.
Oh, nice.
I'm not mistaken.
He is. A very good one, too. I've listened to his stuff.
He's already more interesting than me. Sometimes. He's more interesting than me, then.
Fucking Costa.
Well, give us a shout, Steve. Give us a shout.
By the way, I meant to say again, thank you for the donation. Where's the love for Kostas Llanos coming in with a song? I feel like that deserves a donation, doesn't it? I'm trying.
Maybe that was it. 20 quid of the day.
Yeah, maybe that's what got Christo motivated to give Anyway, Ugly says, I thought Richards was really positive today. Some small mistakes and gave the ball away a couple of times. Yeah, but going forward from the left, he's a joy to watch. And his positioning is good down the left. Like the thing I have with Ortega is just like, you know that he has, should I even call it this, Retos moments, like in the game, where he loses concentration and he just makes that mistake and you're like, oh, he's out of position or he's caught in two minds about something. And I mean, look, we all dreaded it, right, today, seeing Kinney. Let's be real. Like, most Olympiacos fans going into the game, they're thinking, oh my God, Kinney's going to be facing Tyson down the wing. And at some point during the game, probably Despodov, and he's going to get exposed. I have to say that particularly Gelson Martins has had an absolute blinder on the right wing. Not only has he got the goal, he's been very good on the ball, made good runs in behind, like didn't give the ball away, but defensively too, bombing up and down the line all game. I think he came off in around the 70th minute. He was gassed, completely gassed, but he did a fantastic job, like marking down that right-hand side. They were both very, very astute down the right-hand side, Kinney and Gelson Martins, and they kept them quiet. Like, Balk didn't do anything. The first time Balk did anything dangerous today was around the 87th minute. There was that deflection that was Baba Rahman down the left-hand side, and Zolakis has got a hand to it. It was going in. And then they took that corner, which led to the Kouliarakis header, free header. I think Andre Orta was ball-watching. And then of course, okay, there's the goal where there's two mistakes outside our own box. We've literally won the ball back, then given it straight back to them. And then there's an imbalance in the defense. Nelson Abbey stepped up, and then Retos is trying to mark two people and gets across too late after Kinney's, you know, chasing Zivkovic, who plays that first time ball. But other than that, Balk didn't threaten. They did not threaten right up until the end of the game. And I have to say, like, was it against AEK? They were losing 2-0 and they scored two goals in the last 10 minutes. You got to be careful with that Balk team because they don't give up. They never give up. And the last 3 minutes were a little bit like, okay, ref, blow the whistle. Let's get this done with.
Yeah.
So, you know, but otherwise you look at the stats from the game as well. We did really well, man. And I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about this. Like, let's talk about it now. Well, I want to talk about it. Vicente Iborra today.
Very good. Again, very solid again.
Again, the coach. It's like he came in on the beginning of the second half against Fener. And again, I think there were a lot of Olympiacos fans that thought, oh, why did he bring him in? Why isn't he starting Andre Orta at the beginning of the second half? He knew what he was doing. Thoughts, guys?
This role that Iborra has occupied now in two straight matches is exactly the type of role that we envisioned he would have at Olympiacos. Guy that can be used on the bench and can really pack and help you condense the midfield. Because when he came on against Fenerbahce in this past Thursday, he really helped keep things condensed and help break up a lot of those transitions into our third. He's such an imposing figure there. You can't muscle him off the ball because he's a giant. He's also, his distribution is very good too. You know, at times it feels like I'm watching Mvila, but he's a little bit slower. But his positioning is very well. And in a time and in a team where we don't have a real six, and the closest thing that we have plays day in, day out, 90 minutes here, and I'm referring to Santiago Heze, you need somebody that can fill that in and give you that extra layer of protection in front of your defensive line. Bujalakis used to do that for us. We don't have him anymore. So now it's only Iborra. And I know there was a comment actually from Lakis Gavalas on social media talking about how
that's how we called him.
That's right. But the comment from Lakis Gavalas killed me because he said, if we're giving David Carmo a rest today, Santi Jose deserves like a month vacation for everything that he's done for us. But this is exactly the role, going back to Ibora, that we imagined for him. And he operates really well in this. I'm not sure what got lost in translation between the qualifiers, the European qualifiers, to, you know, going into when Mendilibar came. Because then it was all of those, well, not just them, but like so many players, their purpose got, what's the word I'm looking for? Their roles got kind of, everything became like a bit of a gray area. Does that make sense? Under Mendilibar, everything is logical and it's very straightforward. Like what we're seeing on the pitch here, this isn't like, there's no tactical masterclass. What we've seen game by game is more or less the same. Tight midfield, high pressing, and the midfield has an extremely important role in that it has to break up for the initial press that's being done by the front line. But there's no, we don't overthink things. There's a core way of playing, and in many cases, especially Europe, it's offense by defense, if you know the saying. And it's working. Everybody knows the role they have to fill. We're using players, in my opinion, for the most part, to their strengths. And not just because we want somebody to fill a void that maybe their qualities, their characteristics cannot fill, like under Carvajal, as Costa mentioned before. Mendilibar is logical. He's playing people in the positions that they should be playing, that he can get the most out of them in. And that's how I see it, at least, in regard to that. Ibora is one of those pieces that we've seen, when you're using him properly, can be an invaluable piece. Now, Keeney, I'm not going to say he had a masterclass today, even though I called it in the Patreon chat yesterday. But he had the goal, but he was all right. He did the role that you would expect Keeney to have. He's not going to do anything amazing, but he filled his role. He did what he was supposed to do for the most part, and that's it. The football that we're playing is much more simplified, and it makes everybody look better as a result.
What I'm going to say about Ibora. Δικαίωση Antonio Cordon. You got El Kabi, Ayoub El Kabi, who worked out for Olympiacos. That was a Cordon pick. Keeney, he was, but not really. He didn't really work. But Ibora, you know, at the end of the day, he's the kind of player you bring on in the second half when you have the lead and you close up midfield. He came on during two difficult matches against Fenerbahce in Istanbul, Constantinople, I should say. And now against PAOK, and he brought it, really. He, like you said, guys, he is a piece that once you know how to use him, he will bring it. And that's what he needed. He needed a manager that knew how to use him. I mean, we knew that Ibora came in to help us qualify to Europe. He helped us qualify to Europe. That was a situation right there. It took ages for Cordon to sign. It took ages for Diego Martinez to arrive. Then we needed to put Band-Aids everywhere. So I'm sorry to say this. I am kind of scratching old wounds here. And, you know, right now Olympiacos seem to have finally found themselves into a smooth transition, finally, after so many efforts. But I will say it, you know, in my opinion, Dikeosi Cordon, obviously you're not giving him another contract. But you know what? I mean, José Luis Mendilibar is getting the most out of pretty much everyone from this team. And one of them is Vicente Ibora, if not Keeney as well, after tonight's performance.
I think it's an interesting point and a fair point that you raise, actually. Because Ari mentioned it too. It all has to do with the question, for what role did you bring those players in? Like, what did you bring them in to do? You didn't bring Vicente Ibora in to be a starter week in, week out at Olympiacos. It was said that, like, this is a guy that can come in and can have a huge role, impact, in the dressing room with that experience that he has. I mean, look at the guy. He's a fucking mountain. He's a mountain of a man in the midfield. And when he comes into a team that has an identity, a style of play, you can see it today on the pitch. Even Keeney, same thing here, wasn't bought in to be a starter. It took us 1.5 months to sign a left back. It took us a month to sell Rebchuk to Russia and then get the deal done for Ortega. And he had to play. Keeney had to play left back. And then because it was challenging, to say the least, to put together a core of, you know, quality players. We had to change everything over summer. I know we're scratching at old issues, old problems. We had a lot to do this summer, a lot of things to change, and you can't change everything in one summer. You can't get it perfect. The changes were made at Christmas. Maybe we can even thank Carvajal for bringing in those, like, okay, Carmo, Andre Orta, Chiquinho. Yeah. Good sporting director, maybe, but not manager for us. But you know what I mean? Like, you're right, Costa. Some credit where credit's due. Like, they are good players to have in your squad. They come in at low cost. Their contracts are up at the end of the year, and they've played a role. And, you know, there's still time. Like, the season's not over. I still see those players being useful. And one last thing, like, Kinney's run his socks off today. Yeah. Like, in terms of pressing, like, the intensity, and this is why the eight changes were necessary. Mendilibar wants us to play this way at home. It's becoming clear. Every game we play at home, like, we play at home, like, we play to win. We let them know, like, that we're going to be, you know, hand around their neck for the whole game, pressing. And you saw that intensity. You saw Kinney very high up the field today, trying to win the ball back with good cover from Gelson, the players around him. And again, sorry, last thing, Ibora. We talked about this before the show. When's the last time he actually played as a defensive midfielder, six, in a three-man midfield? And somebody in the chat, tell me, when's the last time Vicente Ibora played in a three-man midfield as the holding player? There's only one match I can remember, against Genk at the start of the season. And that is the role, that is the best role that he can play in this team, with two midfielders in front of him that have legs, that have energy, that can press a little bit higher, that can allow him to, you know, utilize his experience and exploit spaces. And, you know, he knows where the ball's going. He has vast experience that can give us the chance to recuperate the ball up the field and get things going, get the ball moving, as you said, Ari. Maybe not Mvila kind of range, but his passing ability with his left foot, with his right foot, first time technique. I mean, what do we need to say about the guy more than he's won four European Cups? Like, enough said.
There's a reason why when we brought him in, there was so much praise about the player from Spain. They didn't just praise him for nothing. Because what he does provides incredible value for you, especially if he's used correctly. But you do have to understand his limits. And that, I mean, this has kind of been the situation with Olympiacos for the last 3-4 seasons, is understanding we have players that we never understood the true value in their roles. There's so many players like this that we can talk about. Pep Biel, Henry Onyekuru. Players that we brought in that were good at certain things, but we use them entirely differently. I'll even go as far as to say it's the same with Francisco Ortega. One of the big things of value with Ortega is when he makes his inside runs from the left. If he's able to have the freedom to be able to do that. He very rarely does that. I have only counted 4 individual instances since the new year that he's been able to do that. And those are, you see, when in Turkey, when we were playing against Fenerbahce, or was it the first leg? I think it was the second leg. In the second leg, when he cuts in, he had that run. I think it was at towards the end of the first half. He goes through like 1 or 2 people. He loves to do that. And that was one of the most valuable things you could see from him in Argentina. And I know exactly when Cordon picked him, he saw those runs, was like, I don't have anything like this from the back that can do this. This is what he can do. But then we bring him in, he's not given the ability to go forward like that. We only wanted to do overlap, overlap, overlap. That's it. You just wasted $4 million. Because the value you paid for was in a certain subset of skills that you don't intend on using very often.
I know exactly what you mean. Is that thing when he, like you say, he cuts inside and then he uses his back to kind of spin around and get back onto his left foot and then play it out wide. He loves to do that.
Yeah, and it works more often than not, but he's only, I'm telling you, from the beginning of the new year, I've counted maybe four times total that he's done it. And he wants to get in these positions because you look at when he's so far out of position, right? On the defensive end, when it's like he's missing, he is making this run so far ahead of maybe of where he should be because he wants to get the ball to then make that. Then we lose the ball or something happens. It happened against Maccabi Tel Aviv. He makes this overlapping run, inside overlap or underlap. Is that what we call it? Inside overlap, yeah. Underlap. He does the underlapping run on the second goal we ate against Maccabi Tel Aviv in the 4-1 loss. He underlaps. He wants to receive the ball. He has it open, completely open to him in going in front of the final third to make a run directly into the penalty area. We lose the ball there. I think it was Andre Horta that loses the ball. And then they get that possession that goes into our final third, and then they score. He has so many of these runs, and then he has to then make up the distance to come back. And a lot of times he makes the run and then just kind of stops, maybe like a little too far forward, thinking that somebody's going to clear it for him. And then we bite it on these chances where he's out so far out of position because he's not making the effort to get back there. So many times. And Richards doesn't do that. Richards is a lot more straightforward. And his positioning is just overall better. And that makes him more valuable than Ortega in that sense. But we went on a little bit of a tangent here with this left back situation. Sorry about that.
I would like to no, go ahead, Costa.
Just a quick one. Saying that, there is a man of the match vote right now happening over on YouTube for those following on Twitter, Facebook, wherever. You can also come on YouTube. There's a vote, your man of the match poll going on right now. About 100 of you have voted. Gelson Martins, 54% of the vote so far, down to 55. Ibora, 28%. Pedence, 8%. 10% of you have voted other. I see a few votes for Nelson Abbey. I saw a few shout outs for Omar Richards as well. If you haven't voted in the poll, you can do that real quick on YouTube. You can also hit that like button too, guys. I think there's about a couple of hundred of you over on YouTube right now. 39 likes. Come on, guys. All it takes is really helps us reach out to more and more fans. We're close to hitting 4,000 subs on YouTube, and the community keeps growing and growing. We always like to do this every show. Shout out into the comments where you are writing from: Australia, North America, Europe, where in Europe,
Asia,
your balcony, your toilet. While you...
That's me.
Yeah, some people do that. And subscribe and hit the bell. Did anybody see this at the end of the game? The comment, Mr. Blanc.
I got a comment. I got a comment from Mr. Lutsescu, the best manager in Greece. Mathimena ta vuna ta hionia. I mean, another day, another whiny, bitchy comment from Lutsescu. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Look, this part makes me laugh. And we saw a ton of comments from Balk fans that were also giving Lucescu shit for that because they didn't think they played well to begin with. But for me, it's, were we watching the same first half? Because most of those calls in the first half, like ball getting stopped, terrible. There was a studs up challenge, I remember, no yellow for. Actually, the foul was called against us. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear with that first half. They didn't, the yellow cards for Balk didn't start coming until the second half. They didn't start getting fouls called against them until the second half. At one point we had like 14 or 15 fouls called against us before they had one or two. I don't want to hear anything about refs from Lucescu. I don't want to hear anything about the penalty because we've seen way worse penalties called against us. I don't want to hear it. He's, another day, another Lucescu trying to start civil war between Thessaloniki and Athens. These mind games are getting old with the fan base in Balk too. They're not working anymore. So
at least he didn't go that far this time to make it the Athenians versus the Northerners thing.
Yeah,
I will say though, I do agree with you, Costa. He's going to be an Olympiacos manager at some point in the future. I don't know how close in the future, but he's going to be Olympiacos manager at some point in the future. Personally, as Kostas Lianos, Kostas with a K, if that rocks your boat, I feel like when he joins Olympiacos, he's going to have to earn his stripes. I don't care what he does with PAOK. I think it's safe to say he's going to get offers in the summer. There will be offers from some, at least decent clubs, from decent leagues. When he goes to Olympiacos, he's going to have to earn his stripes. After all those comments, after all those anti-Olympiacos and anti-Athenian comments, he's going to have to earn his stripes.
He signed an extension, didn't he?
If you get a La Liga club coming over with a really good offer, well, you know.
If we went from Mendilibar to Luchescu, I'm sorry.
Just 1 year, though. Just 1 year from Mendilibar, though. Never. That's what really worries me. That's something I don't really understand.
Never. One step at a time. Step forward. Next. Sigasiga.
I would like to pick up a comment, if that's okay, guys. Okay. You touched on it, Ari. Do you think Mendilibar can make Biel good again if he returns in the summer? Maybe like that number 10 he does with Jovetic. Well, Jovetic's contract runs out in June 30. I don't know. I mean, look at Zolakis, look at Podens, look at Fortunis. Why not? I'm going to dare say.
The role that Jovetic plays as like our 10-ish hold-up guy or the second striker, I could see Biel having success under Mendilibar, but in a different manner. Just simply because the two – I'm going to try to explain this how I'm thinking it, but the way Jovetic handles the ball is entirely different than how than Pep Biel handles the ball. Do you know what I'm saying? The way Biel carries himself when he's dribbling the ball is completely different than Jovetic. Jovetic, in terms of how he moves the ball with his feet, how he controls the ball, how he distributes the ball, is entirely different. Pep Biel doesn't do that. Pep Biel does his best with forward momentum, dribbling in those positions off of the striker. And that's not exactly what Jovetic does. Jovetic can distribute back to the defender, move the ball around. Pep Biel's not that type of player. But I still think Pep Biel would have success in this system, given the spaces that we see that are made from him, made from guys like El Kabi, and the spaces that are made by the wings. I think Biel could have success in a similar manner to how Bakasetas was having success with the Ethniki Omada when he was playing less as the 10 and more as somebody that was able to put out the striker. Remember when Bakasetas had like that string of games, it was like 4 or 5 goals that he had for the Ethniki. That's how I imagine Pep Biel could do things. Because look at the success he had at Copenhagen. The success he had was when he was playing either false nine or behind the striker. He has the space. Mm-hmm. He's the striker in front of him is drawing the extra defender or drawing the center back. Pep Biel is given some space to get some forward momentum, and he's ripping shots from that top right spot of the penalty area. And he's scoring constantly from that. How many opportunities like that does he get at Olympiacos before Mendilibar comes? Never. Never happened, except a handful of times maybe. But under Mendilibar, we're seeing a lot more of these situations, not necessarily with Jovetic, but perhaps those are situations that could be created for Pep Biel. So I think he could have success, but under a completely different context than the success we've seen Jovetic have. That's my personal opinion.
I have some thoughts on this. First of all, Jovetic. He's not a 9. I can't remember if we've talked about this before. But it really is amazing that just how badly, like how mishandled he was by previous management. If you think that Martinez viewed him as a 9, he was basically a replacement for El Kabi. He's like, I'm going to rest Okabe. I'm going to play Jovetic, and he's going to be my front man. It's not what he is. He was never a pure nine, a lone striker, never in his career. And I think I tweeted this a couple of weeks ago. I said, he's not a nine, and Mendilibar's exposing all the previous managers in the way that he's utilizing him, because he's the only manager that's managed to get the best out of him. Was it 5 goals, 3 assists in however many games since Mendilibar's joined? He's not a 10 either. He's something in, like, I said it a few shows ago, and it was almost sacrilege. I don't think you were there, Costa. It reminds me a bit of Giovanni. Not the magic, but the fact that you can't define the position on the field. It's something in between a 10 and a 9. He's there or thereabouts. Like, his technical ability, his ability to curl the ball outside the box into the far corner. He tried that against Ajax at home. Okay, to compare Biel and Jovetic, I'm sorry, like, as much as I might like some things about Biel, there are no words in English to describe it, so I'll just say it in Greek. Δεν είναι η τρίχα στο δεξί αρχίδι του Jovetic, ο Biel.
Statement.
From a technique point of view, and yeah, from just like Jovetic was... He reached a world-class level. So I'm sorry, Pep Biel, but yours compared to Jovetic. Can Mendilibar get something out of him? I believe yes. Because you look at the players in the squad now, everyone, he's getting something out of everyone. I'm a little bit worried about Pep that he hasn't scored a goal since he's been on loan. He's playing with his former manager in the Bundesliga, a league where you can score goals, but he hasn't done it. I don't know. Still under contract, so he's coming back. Don't think he's done enough to get a permanent move. Yeah. Outlaw Jorge, straight up, man.
I just keep thinking of, like, some of these balls that Jovetic receives, you know, like some of the long balls he'll receive, and he just stops it on a dime, and he turns some, like, very nice, and or he'll receive a ball and just flick it where it's got to go, like right onto the person's foot. There's just a level of technique there that he has that Biel just doesn't have. Biel doesn't have a clean first touch either. You know what I mean? Hmm. Like, Jovetic's touch is one of the cleanest of a player we've had at this club. So, like, when you have the Giovanni reference, like, in that, if we're talking about the touch that the two had, Giovanni had a dirty touch. You know what I mean? Giovanni could do things with the ball that were absurd. And yeah. Jovetic, like Giovanni could speak to the ball, right? Jovetic, I don't know if he's at that level, but Jovetic, I mean, just any ball that comes to him, it doesn't matter where it is, he just always can perfectly settle it. It can always be perfect to him, or one touches to somebody, and he never looks like he doesn't have control. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's a great comment by Helios. Yeah. We've talked about this before, like the first few games we watched at Mendilibar, like, imagine playing people where they should play. Oh my God.
I got a question about another player, if you don't mind me asking, unless you want to add more on Pep Biel and Vicente Ibora. So one thing I was wondering is how much are Olympiacos missing Gelson Martins in Europe? I mean, I remember when I was watching the Fener game, I was thinking, man, what an impact player Gelson would have been in Constantinople if we brought him in and opened up that Fener defense and gave us a little more space to run our game. How much are Olympiacos missing Gelson in Europe? Although they made the great, great choices in the European list. Andre Orta, Chiquinho, David Carmo, perfect choices. Only problem is we couldn't have more than three. Number four is obviously Gelson, but considering his injury run, his injury record, how much are Olympiacos missing Gelson?
Oh, 100%. Just look at how thin our roster is with the wing. The first leg with no Podence, right? we're sitting around like, what the hell do we do? We need to make a sub. There's no more wingers. That's it. So just from that aspect, we need him. But then the just the way Gelson Martins can go at players. We've talked about this before, Costa, how we don't have like out and out wingers on this club. And we haven't had that kind. You know what I mean? We had Gary Rodriguez, glass leg Gary, who here and there could do something. And besides that, like what out and out wingers did we have? Sergi Canos, we had, who was like a David Fuster on the wing, effort, you know, that, but not, again, not a real out and out winger in that respect. We haven't had that. And Gelson Martins looks like that. It's the injury history and the injuries we've seen him have like every other game so far since he's played. That's the issue for us. He'll become glass like Gelson soon enough. But I mean, we do miss him, a healthy Gelson, because we could have, oh man, that game against Fenerbahce, the second leg where Podence should have been making a meal out of Asai Samuel, Gelson would have absolutely made a meal out of him. Because as fast as Asai Samuel was, like, I still am not over two legs, like, over impressed with the caliber of the player. But Gelson Martins would have been having down that left wing, would have been making a meal of that. I'm sure of it.
I've got not really much to add to that. It'd be fantastic to have him as an option in Europe. It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because when we were supposed to submit the list, everyone was talking about how the three that would be added would be Carmo for sure, and Gelson. Like Gelson Martins was definitely in with the shout. And I think it would have been Chiquinho that would have been left out.
Correct. Because Horta would have been Lord. Sure.
Oh yeah. Lord, that would have been bad if we didn't have
you Chiquinho. See, because it, like nobody really knew Chiquinho when he, like, I didn't. I admit, like, I didn't know the player very, very well, if at all. Maybe seen him play 45 minutes with Benfica. Andre Horta I knew. From Braga, like I'd seen him play. I knew he was a good player.
Oh yeah.
So like it could have gone so different. Like you win something, you lose something, of course.
It would have been so bad if we didn't have Chiquinho on this team.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Europe.
A hindsight.
So bad.
Yeah. And Dorta and Carmo. Injury forced that anyway. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oof. And that was Carvalhal who made that choice, wasn't it?
Yeah, Gelson got injured.
Right. Well, yeah, Gelson getting injured is the one that's what forced the whole thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
But
yeah. Imagine.
Porto was one of those when he came in, you knew he was going to be fine. He's another one that has like just fantastic technical ability.
Amazing. Good to see him get like decent minutes today. Did he come off? Did he come off today?
He looked didn't a bit come off for Carvalho. Did he come off for right, Carvalho? Yeah,
Bravo.
Carvalho.
Because he looked tired towards the end of the game.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely can't last 90 minutes.
It's good, though, that he starts getting game time. And overall, something we haven't said also as well today is that we play Aris on Wednesday away from home. That's always a tough game. I don't care. You just feel like Aris is really going to come hard at us on Wednesday too. I don't care if like the league is pretty much over for them. Like they're not going to ever get close to fourth place. They're going to, you know, it's all about the cup for them. But you just know they're going to come hard. You just know they're going to come hard at us on Wednesday and make it as difficult as they can. So it was important that we rested key players going into that game so that we can, you know, have some freshness. I think that was important. And another thing that we didn't say, the second goal today, beautiful goal. Beautiful, beautiful goal. Counter-attack down that left-hand side. Amazing run from Podence. Then that one touch from Horta on the left. They love that little connection down that left-hand side, don't they? When you see Horta on the touchline, he just plays those one-touch balls in and Podence keeps running and he picks that beautiful pass in behind. It capped off a really nice goal. I love those kinds of goals, man. Just like quick counter-attack. Beautiful, beautiful goal.
I just like the phases of play where everybody's moving. You know what I mean? Like 3 years of us watching players because of this Portuguese overload nonsense, where we have four players in a line. They're just waiting for somebody to do something. And you just have the midfield deciding like, oh, nobody's open. What am I going to do? I just love the fluid movements. I love seeing that. That's the type of football I like. I want people moving together in cohesive units, moving the ball together. I hate seeing a bunch of people stand in a seven-man line hoping one defender is going to go somewhere and then wait for somebody to hoof the ball down. I hate that crap. So this, I enjoy every second of this. It reminds me of like when Martins first came. It reminds me of like Olympiacos when we were, you know, in Champions League in previous seasons. Because you're excited to watch every game now because you know you're going to see something, you know, okay, it could be a tough match, but you know you're going to see fun things. You know you're going to see the team move the ball. You're going to see the team do things. You're not going to see the team, oh, we're playing the most boring football ever. Oh, we're watching paint dry. Where's the inspiration going to come from? Oh, is Costas Fortunas going to save us again? Not that he was playing today, but you know what I mean. We're now back to like enjoying getting up, excited for game day, excited to see because, you know, we know this team can do is playing well and can do something any day it steps on the field versus before it was, oh God, what's going to happen to us today? What disaster and embarrassment are we going to see? It's completely different.
And we're technically only 3 points behind Ajax in first place because we got a game in hand.
Game in hand.
Question. Do we know if the Olympiacos Ajax game is being postponed? And will that make Olympiacos Ajax the last game of the season? Because it's the game in between Villa.
I wouldn't count on it, dude. Wouldn't count on it.
But we have the right.
Because we're in the semi-final.
The bylaws,
we ask, like, don't we have to ask for it first?
I'm sure we will. Like, it's in the law.
Is it though in the laws?
Yeah,
well, like 100.
If you get to the quarterfinal, anything after that, like there and after, you can ask for postponement and you'll get it.
I'll tell you this, Costa. I would much rather finish the season with Ajax at Karaiskaki rather than Panathinaikos at Leoforos.
Me too. How massive would that be going into the last game of the season and the league's on the line and you're playing them at home?
Full Karaiskaki filled with rowdy Olympiacos fans.
Amazing. Guys, Uglied is right. I'm looking at SofaScore right now and it says the May 1st match against Ajax is postponed.
So then
if that's the case, it would be the last match day. It wouldn't be Panathinaikos anymore, which makes things very interesting.
That would be so great. And that is, of course, if we don't screw up at Touba and Leoforos, eh?
Of course.
But I'm guessing, are we still going to have that? Because the way the schedule is right now, technically, so we have, because we have Ajax on the 1st, and then Ajax is again on the 8th, right? A week later.
No, we already played them.
Oh, right.
We already played them in the playoffs.
Right.
At Ajax Sofia, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
That freaking game. Anyway.
Lots of freaking games with this team.
So that's...
Yeah, but that's crazy. That'd be incredible if we played Karaiskakis with our own fans, you know, running, you know, gunning for the title. That would be... I mean, like I said, every time we play Ajax, my most... The only thing I fear the most is the referee. I don't fear anyone else. But, you know, you want to be the referee in that match. You want to be the referee in that match at Karaiskakis? Well, maybe you want to tread lightly there, pal.
Wait, this is impossible. There's no way it would be the day before our game against Villa. There's no way. It would have to be postponed.
Oh, Christo, come ask us.
So there's no way.
Question. Stupid question up to a point, but I will still make it. What if you make it to the final then? What does that mean? What kind of effect would that have on the fixture?
It gets pushed back, baby. The Greek League's going to end after the Greek Cup, which we still don't have a venue for.
When is the final? Is it the 29th?
That's the thing. I forgot when the final is, even though I shouldn't because I'm probably going to be there. Conference League final. Yes, May 29.
So, oh, expect the league will be over by then, surely.
Yeah, doesn't the league end like second week of May anyway? So, but worst case, it'll be
May 12th. May 12th. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's that's fine. Yeah. But I mean, that's a huge ask. I mean, if we guys, if we make it past Aston Villa, if that's a huge if we make it past Aston Villa and lose the final, I am going to be depressed for an entire season. If we don't, if we get Villa out of the way and lose the final to either Fiorentina or Bruges, I'm just not going to come out of my house.
Look, man, I look, in the moment, I would be upset as well. But at the same time, we made it to a final. Hilarious. Like, I wouldn't have, but we'll talk about that. We have to get there.
Costas is losing it. Costas is losing
it. You guys need to calm down. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be like, calm down.
I'm happy now, man. We're playing with house money. I've said it twice before. I'm happy. We have the youth team in the finals. First European final for a Greek team since the 70s or whenever Panathinaikos did theirs. That was the 70s, right? Was it 80? 70s.
1971. Okay. That's the final.
So early 70s. And if the youth league counts, I mean, it's the first one that the Greek team has been in.
Yeah, first one ever.
For us.
Who are you and what have you done to Nick Manolas? What kind of comment is that? And what have you done to Nick Manolas' account? What kind of... Dude, he's the guy that comes up and he asks to... And he wants to drink José Luis Mendilibar's urine, man.
Was that him?
That's him. And look at him, what he's saying right now. Who hacked his account? Someone hacked Nick Manolas' account.
There were some interesting comments after Thursday's game. Ekmek, somebody.
Oh God.
Yeah, there were some creamy comments. Anyway.
Pun very much intended.
Can we give some love to Tsourlakis, by the way? He should have an assist. He should have had an assist today if the goal wasn't called back. I'm just saying.
Man, the save, I told you, the save that he makes on the 87th minute from that deflected shot from Baba Rahman, that was going in. And he was so good, like, coming out as well. He looks so confident. Finally. Yep. He looks great.
That really was his good. Only barrier. His only barrier was confidence, Costa.
Mm-hmm. You don't get confidence if you don't play. It's like chicken and egg.
You've been saying that for like 2 years regarding Tsourlakis. So
there's something about that kid, man. It was so clear, like there's something there.
When everybody says the same thing, you know he's got talent.
Yeah.
So
I mean, his character as well. Like, he's the perfect goalkeeper, not because he has the reflexes, not because he has the talent, the speed, not the fact that he's so limber. It's also that he has this coldness in him. Like during the penalty shootout, he was the calmest guy in the stadium. I mean, he to him it was like, oh, I'm in a penalty shootout for a place in the semifinals. Same thing as being on the beach in Serifos. He was so calm, so cold, so calculated. So tough. That's what you want from a goalkeeper. The best goalkeepers are different. The best goalkeepers don't think like you. Orli Kahn, Jens Lehmann, they're cold people. Adonis Nikopolidis, he's a cold person as well. But that's what makes a great goalkeeper. And if he leaves Olympiakos, that would be an absolute tragedy. Because this guy, he can, if he stays for Olympiakos for a couple of more years max, he can take he and keeps up the good work, obviously. He can get a top move and bring in a huge, huge transfer fee for the club.
Huge fee.
Yeah, tragedy if he leaves in June.
I agree, man. I'm gonna say, like, if there's one thing that probably keeps me up at night right now, is him renewing his contract. It's not Andre Orta, it's not Daniel Pedence, it's not David Carmo. It's Tsourlakis. That's the one. That's the one that keeps me up at night. Him signing a new contract. Because I think it's done, man. He's number one. It's finished. Like, we found it. We don't need a keeper this summer. Yeah. And there was a question just a minute ago about Pascal Aguis being too good to be on the bench. I said it on a previous show. I think Pascal Aguis was the right keeper for us at a bad time. Yep. And I think that bad time is over.
I'm with you. I was in disagreement with some people because I actually have some blame to spread to Pascal Aguis for some of the goals that we've eaten over the course of the last few months. I know a lot of people were quicker to blame defenders, but I don't think it's, and I think maybe Mendilibar saw the same thing, which is why Tsourlakis has gotten some more starts. But I think Pascal Aguis also, like from last year into now, I think has also kind of not been where maybe we'd like him to be, or we've kind of seen his limits. Not that I'm saying he's a bad keeper, because he's done great things for us, but it's just that I think we saw some of the limits of what Pascal Aguis is. And this is the right time now to roll with a younger guy that can give you much more security at the position for a longer period of time, assuming you don't sell him. And quite frankly, Tsourlakis' reflexes are better than Pascal Aguis. That's how I see it. That's also what I see in the data too. So it's I'm okay. I mean, it's an expensive bench option to have. How many teams have a 900K goalkeeper sitting on the bench? How many people even pay their goalkeepers that much? That's a lot of money. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
I would like to ask though, because there's two sides to the Tsourlakis coin. So you're Kostas Tsourlakis and you leave Olympiakos on June 30. Where exactly are you gonna go? Because the goalkeeper's position, that's a lonely play. Only one player can play there. Where are you gonna go exactly? Because you're gonna have to earn your stripes there as well. Where's he gonna go exactly? Whereas if he stays for Olympiacos for the next couple of years, where he's gonna be the number one, you're gonna play in Europe, you're gonna win titles, hopefully. And I suppose you are gonna win titles. You're gonna play in Europe. If he stays for another 2 years, he could go on and have a career like José Sá. But if he leaves right now, my opinion, he risks, not seriously, but he risks having a career like Stefanos Capino. Because where are you going to go now, right now, on June 30, after two really good performances in the conference, by the way?
Costa, I'm going to tell you right now, if he has a great performance against Aston Villa and we, by some miracle, we can make it to the final from this, it doesn't matter. He'll go somewhere. But if we do what I expect we'll do and we lose in the semifinals, he probably needs a full year as a starter to get that. But the exposure from having a great set of performances in the semifinal against Aston Villa, a match which even won't be a final, will probably have the same type of viewership because it's a Premier League club. He does well there, it doesn't matter. If he does well there, has one or two good performances over the summer, somebody gets him. It'll probably be an upper mid-table German team or a mid-table German team, maybe an Italian team. But he'll that's where he'll end up if he just has one good performance against Aston Villa. That's the reality. That's how the marketing is these days.
And you saw you guys probably noticed this as well. Right after the game against Fener the next day on his Instagram, him with his agents, they'd put a video with English commentary of all his saves during the game. It's just like,
they're not dumb, man. He's in such a good bargaining position right now. Yeah. Playing well, and if he does the same thing there, there are so many clubs that maybe wouldn't have considered him in the first place that will be at the table now because he'll be free. They just have to negotiate wage. You know, they'll throw money at him, even if it means he doesn't necessarily play. That's going to be on him. But I would not be surprised at all if he plays well and then all of a sudden this summer we're hearing about all these teams and he gets signed and we don't have him on a
renewal. He gets a signing fee as a free agent too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I told you, man. That's the one that keeps me up at night. You both raise good points though. But at the end of the day, like he's holding all the chips. We all want to go far, right? We all want to go to the final. Nobody's going to say, I don't want to go to the final because I don't want to lose to Laggies. That's not what any of us are saying. But I think Ari's right.
You know what, Costa? In the end, we as Olympiacos deserve this because the way we've handled the kid until now, it hasn't been optimal. And that's just it. And then so we're reaping what we've sown with this. If we don't sign him, it's because of our mistakes. Not because of Tsoulakis.
It's kind of that one's a little bit difficult in a sense that like we all know how tough Olympiacos' number one position is.
100%.
And you can say like, okay, a coach came in that believed in him and gave him the opportunity, and he's number one now, undisputable. Right. And it's for him to figure that out, obviously, like in his head, to Costa's point, where is he going to find what he has now in a foreign club as a Greek player, as a keeper that's only really had not even half a season consistently?
Right.
No doubting the talent, but is he going to go to a big league and play with the same confidence with his teammates, you know, not being there? And I don't know. Hopefully he stays.
Yeah, you just got there, and I think you're 100% right. Like from his point of view, where he stands now, it took somebody with melon size Arhivia like Mendilibar to just play him. So where's he most likely go if he's concerned about minutes? This is where he's going to get minutes, 100%.
Yeah, with the same manager.
Right, with the same manager.
Teammates, so that's his value. A team that's hungry for European success. We got a taste now, guys. We got a taste for a European final right now. Olympiacos are not the same guys right now. And I'm sorry, but I do not accept the argument, oh, we didn't give him opportunities. Guys, he played the Greek Cup final when he was 17. And it's the number one option. Guys, only one person could play as a goalkeeper. Okay. It's not like we could have played him as one of the center backs. We had Paschalakis was the best goalkeeper in Greece for like 2 years, basically. I mean, this is difficult. You can't just throw Paschalakis out just to play the kid because he's waving his contract at us. Like you said, Ari, you were absolutely right. Here's the minutes. Here's the manager who absolutely believes in you. And he's a top fucking manager, a luxury for the league you're in. And we got a taste now for European success. You can go to a mid-table German team or a mid-table Italian team that's never going to see European football and never going to challenge for silverware, or stay at Olympiacos, win titles, go far in Europe, and get an even more lucrative transfer for a fucking elite club in an elite league. My two cents.
Aris Galamatis, it was, if I'm being specific, it took the melon-sized balls of Mendilibar to give the goalkeeper with melon-sized balls his opportunity. But that's, yeah, I think we're saying the same thing there. But thank you.
There's a question about tickets. We've been getting loads of these questions about tickets for Aston Villa. Best advice we can give you guys is keep an eye on Olympiacos' website. Go and check in the next few days. Look out for news on the Greek site. Okay, not the English one. The English one is updated a little later. So keep an eye out for ticket information. For the away game, if you guys are in the UK, good idea to check in with the Gate 7 London Fan Club on Facebook so you can try and connect with them. As you can imagine, demand for tickets is going to be huge. So if some of you are signed up to the London Fan Club, even better. Try. I think I heard we're going to get around 3,000 tickets.
I think that's close. People saying that as well.
Yeah, I think that's close to what we got at West Ham.
What about the return leg? What about the return leg at Karaiskaki?
Έχουμε ακόμα. Karaiskaki tickets will go on general sale.
Yeah.
As usual. season ticket holders and general sales. You need to have your fan club, your fan card, etc. The usual.
That's it. Yeah. So we'll hopefully we'll be able to meet up with some people. We're going to try and see if we can get some people to some games. So perhaps
I'm going to be at the Karaiskaki in the return leg.
So 99. Perhaps a vlog coming.
99.9%. I'm there too.
So there you go. At least for one leg, we'll have it. So, how fast do you guys think this will sell out? That's going to be fast.
Yep. Yeah, those tickets are going to go quick. I can see people sleeping outside the booths, the ticket booths.
Oh, yeah.
Hussein, I'm 99.9%. I'm coming. 99.9%. Pending final confirmation from the boss. That would be my wife.
I am 100% certain, as long as UEFA don't deny me.
There you go. So hopefully there can be some meetups. Hopefully, and didn't Lambro say he might be able to make it?
This
or was it later on?
Tough. Maybe if we get to the final. If we get to the final, maybe, he said.
Maybe that was. I remember saying something that he could end up. He could be in Greece, but whatever. We'll see what happens.
Do we know, Nelson Abbey signed the long-term deal, right?
Yes, he did.
Do we know this for sure? People love to speculate on this one. Like, if he's coming on a loan or I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's a long-term contract. It's not a loan.
2026. Until 2026 is Nelson Abbey with Olympiakos. But I don't know if there's going to be any surprises with
if you believe
another team called Nottingham Forest, you know?
Yeah. Well, even Y-Scout has the contract with Olympiakos till 2026. Now, what we don't know is particulars. What clauses are in the contract? Are there outs for the Premier League? Are there outs for the Championship? You know what I mean? That's the thing. We don't know. But technically, he's contracted with us for at least another 2 years.
Really good player.
Yeah. I mean, I am thinking we need to get a David Carmo / Olof Melberg / Ruben Semedo esque center back in the summer. But I do wonder what Alex Kalogeropoulos and Nelson Abbey could do together next season. I mean, it's late now. We're closing in on 1 hour and 15 minutes. But Nelson Abbey, future at Olympiacos. He is the future of Olympiakos' defense right there with Kalogeropoulos. And you know what? I'm saying it. Panos Retsos, huge believer of Panos Retsos here.
Man, with we've got a lot of young talent. If by some miracle we could keep Carmo, imagine Carmo, Abbey, Kalogeropoulos in the academy. We also have some great talent in the academy. Forget Bagayanis. We're not even talking about that at this point. With the B team, we have Koutsidis, who's doing extremely well. With the U19s. We have so much. We still technically have Doi. Whatever happens with that, yeah. But we have, you know, we just need that Carmo, that main piece to have, if we can do that. I think Abbey actually could fill a great role here. Hussein says Abbey is Carmo to be. In a manner of speaking, I don't necessarily disagree. I think push came to shove. I think that Abbey could be a starter for us. He has never looked bad since coming here and in any performance. He's always looked capable. The guy is also just we have not had a player that's physically built like this. Have we? Mm-hmm. The guy, I just remember Pierre Koundé's tree trunk legs, and that was it. But this guy is just a monster.
It's a specimen.
He is. He's a physical specimen.
But I'm going to insist, guys, we're not signing David Carmo. If we sign David Carmo, I am giving away my spot as Gate 7 International co-host to my cat, Paco. Honestly, if we sign Carmo, Paco is going to take my place as Gate 7 International co-host.
That might actually we close him in. He's just
I'm noting down the timestamp at which Kostas Lianos says his cat will replace him.
Yeah. Yeah. Paco's gonna be the Gate 7 International co-host. And honestly, that could give us more views, actually. That could skyrocket us if we actually do that.
Paco sitting there on the seat. And he had
the microphone.
The mic.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we wrap this up, guys? It's getting late here. It's
absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
Yeah.
Man of the match, coach's grade.
We can do man of the match. Somebody wanted me to promise something.
Promise.
If we sign Carmo, promise something like Ari last year, Kostas. Well, I just
the OnlyFans thing.
Yeah, Paco is gonna there be go, my he's gonna Paco. Take my place.
We'll have Paco, and then we have to find a way to close him in so he can't leave, and then he'll just be on in front destroying Kostas' computer.
Okay, who's gonna go first on man of the match and coach's grade?
Thanks for volunteering, Kostas K.
Okay, well, man of the match. Really liked Zelson Martins. Fantastic performance. Got his first goal in about, over 700 minutes or something like that. Took him ages to get his first goal after his injury hell. Really good performance. Runs, dribbles, showing something that Olympiacos fans can await for next season. Really missing in Europe. Can't wait to see what he's going to bring in Europe next season as well. Remember, this guy is a full-blown Olympiacos player right now. No loan knee. I'm going to give it to Zelson Martins. And coach is great. Well, this is going to have to be an A for Coach Mendilibar. A huge win on the trot after that amazing qualification from Fenerbahce. Much better performance than the hapless display we saw in Constantinople. Could have scored more goals. I didn't like the fact that we conceded at the end and made it stressful. So instead of an A+, he's getting an A.
For me, midfield bias. So Vicente Borras, my man of the match, for reasons I stated earlier on in the show. And coach gets A+ for me. Eight changes, and to play with that style and competence today, the crowd loved it. I enjoyed it. 2-1 victory. Okay. We ate a goal, but whatever. A+ for me.
I'm caught between Gelson Martins and Ibora. And I also have midfield bias. So I'll give it to Ibora as well. I'm doing the enhanced analysis on the Fenerbahce game. And then like when Ibora came in, man, it's just like he was everywhere he was supposed to be. And I just really value that. So maybe because that's on my mind, that's erring toward, but I'm going to go with Ibora. And then for Mendilibar, I'll give him an A. You know, in the beginning, I was like not so sure about the Navarro start. I thought maybe El Arabi could start, but Navarro did very well. And like Costa and I were talking about before, I had said that this was a game I didn't expect us to be so comfortable in. And for most of the game, except the very end, we were comfortable. So I think for sure, it's an A at the very least for me. So very good.
Perfect stuff, you guys. Amazing victory. And now, you know, big game with Aris, who pretty much live and breathe and die for the Greek Cup final. Aris fans, they don't give a crap about the playoffs. I can tell you the atmosphere from Greece. They don't care. They don't care if they finish below Lamia. What they live, breathe, and die for is the Greek Cup final, which is why it's extremely important we don't finish fourth, because Aris are going to bring it against Panathinaikos in the Greek Cup final whenever it takes place. A very quick shout out here to Theo Magnatis. Thank you so much for the $20, man. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks, guys. I truly don't need Oli to win a single trophy this season. Mendy Libar is a trophy himself. I haven't seen Thrillo play this well, probably ever in my life, and I'm excited for what's ahead. Theo Magnati, thank you so much for your support, and we cannot wait to see you more often in the next few shows that we're going to be doing until the end of this exciting season.
Thank you so much, buddy. And anybody have any last-minute comments before I wrap this up?
Youth League tomorrow, final, Olympiacos versus Milan. Don't miss that. And Tuesday, Barcelona, Olympiacos, game one of the playoffs in the EuroLeague.
More and next week, boys, watch your socials because we're going to have some merch. We're going to be dropping some stuff with merch. We're really excited finally for this to get going. I'm so sorry that the delays have taken us here. The navigating the international shipping environment has been a nightmare. But we're really excited for you guys to see everything. You've seen some teasers already the last couple of months. We're really, really excited to show you guys everything. And there's more stuff that will be coming too. We have a lot more planned. Whatever comes out, just remember there's more stuff coming. And we are super excited for all of this. It's just the beginning. And we're just going to keep going onwards and upwards. So thank you again, everyone, for hanging out. Thank you, everyone, for joining in, being a part of the conversation. This is Gate 7 International by the fans for the fans. And we'll see you guys probably later in the week. Gattiba!